Welcome to the Health and Wellness Show. My name is Dr. Joe Tata. I am a physical therapist and certified nutritionist. It's my mission to inspire the change of health in over 20 million people by the year 2020. One of the ways I do that is by having special guests on the show, and tonight's guest is Cassie Bjork. She's also known as Dietitian Cassie. She is a registered licensed dietitian, as well as lead health coach and founder of Healthy Simple Life, which is a team of dietitians and personal trainers who provide evidence-based nutrition and fitness coaching online, over the phone, and at corporate community events. Dietitian Cassie and her team help people find freedom from diets and chronic health conditions through the power of real food so they can live their life to the fullest. The team and Healthy Simple Life are passionate about debunking diet rumors, myths, and fads while teaching people how to eat real food to help them feel their best. They specialize in meeting their clients wherever they are on their health journey. She's also the co-host of the weekly podcast Low Carb Conversation with Jimmy Moore, Dietitian Cassie and Friends, and the featured dietitian for the TV program Twin Cities Live. And with that great introduction, Cassie Bjork, welcome to the Health and Wellness Show.
Thanks, Joe. I'm so excited to be here.
So obviously one of the things you coach people on is diet, nutrition, and weight loss. And when we think about weight loss, we think about metabolism. Talk to us about what our metabolism is and what it isn't.
Yes. Oh, the big M word, metabolism. You know, 99% of people believe they have a slow metabolism. And it actually might be true because we do a lot of things every day that harm our metabolism, and we're not always doing the simple things that can actually boost our metabolism. So metabolism is the chemical processes that take place in our body to give us energy. And everyone wants energy, even if weight loss isn't a goal of yours. We all want energy to make it through our days. So it's a complex set of chemical reactions inside your body. It's the process at which we digest food and burn calories and fat. What it's not is it's not a simple balance of calories in and calories out that can be calculated by plugging numbers into an equation like we've been told for so many years. And that's why when people, you know, cut calories and they count their calories and try to exercise more than they're taking in, you know, that can work to some extent. But the clients that we have coming to us have tried that over and over again. And even if it worked in the short term, it didn't work in the long term. So your metabolism, you know, we want to have a good working metabolism to give us energy through the day. And also, you know, like you mentioned, Joe, a lot of our clients come to us for weight loss so they can learn about their metabolism. So we help them to really boost their metabolism to help with weight loss.
Right. So you mentioned the kind of calories in, calories out myth that, you know, still persistent today. Why is it that people still hang on to that? And how do we start to get rid of that in our culture?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that we hang on to it just because we've been told it over and over for so long. And, you know, I should just start by saying when we talk about calories, I love the energy that I get from calories. So one of the reasons why I don't like calorie counting is because we need energy. We actually want to fuel our metabolism so that we have energy, kind of like you wouldn't not put gas into your car. You want to put gas into your car so you have, you know, energy for it to run. But what I hate about calorie counting is it's just that conventional theory of calories in, calories out. It's fundamentally flawed in so many ways. And one obvious reason is that not all calories are created equal. You know, so like diet soda is equivalent to water with the calorie counting concept, which really doesn't make sense because the more we learn about diet soda and artificial sweeteners, the more we realize that they've never been what they were kind of made out to be. They can actually slow down your metabolism because your body doesn't recognize them. And another thing with the calorie counting theory is that, you know, the idea that a calorie is a calorie is false because your body just doesn't metabolize all calories in the same way. So your macronutrients, your three macronutrients, I always call them PFC, protein, fat, and carbohydrates, they're processed very differently in the body. So, you know, fat is essential for our bodies to function, and it's also the most calorie-dense macronutrient. So even though, ironically, fat supports metabolism, which might be new for some of our listeners, fat actually supports metabolism and helps with weight loss, it's actually the first one of those three macronutrients to be eliminated on a calorie-counting diet because it has 9 calories per gram, whereas the other two macronutrients, protein and carbohydrates, have only 4 calories per gram. So diets that focus on calorie counting, just they're usually high in carbohydrates and low in fat. And, you know, if it were all about calories, it would make sense to eliminate fat right away. but your biology just doesn't operate like math in that way. So we find that by helping our clients actually increase the healthy fat they're eating, which in turn helps to decrease the carbohydrates they're eating, that helps them, that helps boost their metabolism and give them energy, because what it's doing is keeping their blood sugar levels stable. And I'm kind of talking about a lot of different things here, but blood sugar stabilization is at the key of your metabolism, the key foundation of your metabolism and weight loss, if that's a goal of yours.
So I think the really one really powerful takeaway you've given us so far is that eating fat, especially the right kind of fat, can actually increase your metabolism.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, the rate of our metabolism is directly influenced by the food we eat and whether or not that food, I always like to say, stokes or smothers our metabolism. And real food, including healthy fats like butter, I'm a dietitian recommending butter, you know, butter, avocados, nuts, seeds, olives, coconut oil, olive oil, these types of fats actually support your metabolism. And fake foods, fake fats like trans fats, trans fatty acids, they show up on labels as hydrogenated oils and partially hydrogenated oils. Those can actually slow down your metabolism, which triggers an inflammatory process in your body. And when your insides are inflamed, your metabolism isn't supported because your body is just focused on trying to heal the inflammation that's occurring. So it's kind of powerful when you think about how just fat, for example, that one macronutrient, if you choose the right type, it can support your metabolism and it can be very healing to any inflammation you have going on inside. But if you choose the wrong ones, it can actually harm your metabolism and promote more inflammation on your inside. So they're very opposite.
Some great takeaways there. So obviously people look toward diets as a way to lose weight, as a way to improve their health. How does diet affect your metabolism? Hello?
Hello? Hi.
Hey, Tommy.
Hello?
What happened? Yeah.
We lost her.
Oh. Is she on a cell phone?
I hope not. Oh, she's back. Hold on a second. Okay? Hold on a second.
Okay.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, this is Cassie.
Hi, Cassie. Did we lose you?
Somehow I got disconnected, but I'm back.
Oh, are you on a cell phone or a landline?
I'm on my Skype account on my computer.
Maybe that's why. That's the first time. I've never had that happen.
I've been doing all my appointments on Skype all day, so I don't know why it would have dropped the call, but I'm back.
I'll let it just as soon as you guys finish, no problem.
Yeah, we'll edit that out, okay.
Go right ahead.
So, Kathy, obviously people come to you for, you know, diet advice. How does dieting impact our metabolism?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think it's kind of goes in line with thinking about fueling your metabolism in order for it to work best for you. And when you deprive your body of what it needs, it actually slows down your metabolism. So, you know, I like to kind of ask, does it make sense that if you deprive your body of the food and nutrients it needs to run properly, it'll work better for you and that you'll lose weight? No, that's just not how it works. When you deprive your body of what it needs, it conserves energy by slowing down your metabolism. And that's also why when you follow a diet, like a low fat or a low calorie diet, you feel tired, irritable, you have outrageous cravings. You know, nutrition is not low calorie, it's not low fat, it's about refueling your body with real whole foods that it needs to run on. So most of our clients, a lot of our clients come to us and they've done all these crazy diets in the past where they've restricted and they've kind of gotten used to being hungry all the time. And they kind of wonder why they don't have any energy and they think they're doing the right things by depriving their body. So what we do is we help them to actually eat the right amounts of PFC, protein, fat, and carbohydrates, at the right times throughout the day to keep their metabolism boosted. And this is a little bit different for everyone. And what's always interesting is when, you know, after, I don't know, a week or two of doing this, people say they have so much more energy. They usually get more energy within actually the first couple of days. But after a couple of weeks, sometimes what they've done, people that track, that have been tracking their calories and their grams of fat and tracking all those things, we don't recommend that necessarily. But what can be kind of interesting is when people do that and they realize that they're eating like two or three times the amount of calories they were eating before, but they're having more energy and they're losing weight. So we see this over and over again, and it's always so fun to see because it just kind of proves my point that when you fuel your body with what it needs, your body works for you. And when you deprive it, your body's just going to try to conserve energy by slowing down your metabolism, which actually causes you to gain weight and feel, you know, cranky and have those cravings. So it kind of makes sense that you need to fuel your metabolism. So dieting, how does that impact metabolism? It slows it down.
So you mentioned something about cravings. So, of course, we're going to have to talk about sugar. How do we keep our sugar cravings down as we're starting to kind of, you know, change our nutrition and change our diet and in our lifestyle?
Yeah, that's kind of a loaded question. You know, sugar cravings, the first step I would recommend is eating in a way to keep your blood sugar levels balanced. So I talked about a little bit how blood sugar balance is kind of at the foundation of keeping our energy levels consistent, helping our body lose weight. The way that blood sugar balance helps with weight loss is because you've got these hormones called glucagon and insulin. And glucagon is your fat burning hormone, so you want to be best friends with glucagon. But insulin is actually the opposite. It's your fat storing hormone. And when your blood sugar levels aren't stable, when you're riding what I call the blood sugar roller coaster and you're getting these spikes and drops in your blood sugar levels, your pancreas secretes insulin over and over again to actually store that sugar in your cells. So when you do the work and keep your blood sugar levels stable, that's when this amazing fat-burning hormone called glucagon can do its job, because glucagon and insulin can't coexist. You've either got, you're either fat-burning or you're fat-storing. So you want to be fat-burning, even if weight loss isn't a goal of yours, even if you just want energy. So back to the sugar cravings, what you want to do is you want to eat in a way to balance your blood sugars. So my recommended eating regimen to do this is called PFC. And basically the reasoning for this, eating the protein and the fat with the carbohydrates, is because carbohydrates turn into sugar in your body. So all carbohydrates, whether it's, you know, the healthier carbohydrates like veggies and fruits, or carbohydrates that we usually think of like bread and pasta and rice, or the carbohydrates that we don't always think of as carbohydrates, again, like sugar, like pop and candy and cookies and even chips. So all of those carbohydrates turn into sugar in your body. So when you eat those, you get a spike in your blood sugar level. That's why when people, you know, drink a soda, they feel energetic right away. But then what happens an hour later, or maybe less, is you get this big crash. And that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about this blood sugar roller coaster. People might even, you know, even if you have like a banana, which is thought of as like a pretty healthy morning snack, same thing. If you eat that banana by itself, you're getting a spike in your blood sugar levels, and then you get that drop and you wonder why it didn't hold you over till lunch. So what I recommend is having protein and fat along with those carbohydrates. So maybe you'd have half of that banana and your protein would be maybe a hard-boiled egg or a beef stick, and your fat might just be a couple of tablespoons of peanut butter, almond butter, or a handful of walnuts. So basically what you're doing here with PFC is you're increasing your fat intake, making sure you're getting some protein. And how protein relates to metabolism is protein can actually increase your metabolism up to 35% for 2 to 3 hours after you eat it. And how protein relates to sugar cravings is it's a precursor for the neurotransmitters, the brain chemicals that cause you to crave sugar. So sometimes we just need to bump up people's protein intake, especially we have quite a few vegetarians that maybe haven't eaten protein for a long time. We have to be really intentional about getting that protein in to keep sugar cravings away. So back to the balancing the blood sugars, when you're having the protein and fat with the carbs, you're upping your fat and adding in some protein, lowering your carb intake. And it's kind of opposite to what a lot of people have done. Even if you haven't tried to diet, if you're not really intentional about getting in enough healthy fat, you know, a lot of the foods that are marketed to us are low fat because that's kind of what we've been taught since the 1970s. So fat will actually help with sugar cravings because what it does is it helps to kind of buffer the effect that sugar has on your bloodstream. So you can eat that carbohydrate if you eat it with fat, because what it does is it kind of helps to slow the absorption, the assimilation into your bloodstream. And that's how it keeps your blood sugar levels stable versus that huge spike and that huge crash. Because when we crash, I think we all know what we crave. We crave sugar. that's when the vending machine calls our name and we hear it so clearly and we say, I don't have any willpower. The truth is, it's not about willpower. This is a biochemical response. So the good news is that you don't have to feel guilty for not having willpower, because a lot of people just think there's something wrong with them. They say, I'm a sugar addict and there's nothing I can do with it. And, you know, they just feel so guilty and ashamed about it. But the truth is, it's actually just a biochemical response. When your body, when your blood sugar levels are low, your brain is so smart and it just knows that all it needs to do to raise them is eat sugar. So that's why you crave, you know, sugary, snacky, junky foods. So when you're eating in PFC balance, which I usually also recommend for most people if they're going more than 4 hours between meals, to also eat a PFC balanced snack between their meals, because that helps keep your blood sugar stable and preventing those drops between the times that you eat. So I'm talking about usually, you know, at least a couple tablespoons of fat at each meal, which can seem like a lot for some people who've been following a pretty low-fat diet. And for other people like me, I do quite a bit more fat than that. But, you know, a couple tablespoons of fat at each meal makes it naturally easy to just eat less carbohydrates and basically just more in balance. I always like to talk about having balance, not just in food and not just at every meal and snack, but overall in life. That's kind of my approach.
Excellent. So don't be scared of the fat, basically.
Exactly.
So I'm talking with dietitian Kathy. She has two websites, healthysimplelife.com, as well as dietitiancassie.com. You can visit her there. I know on your blog you talk a lot about gut health. What does gut health have to do with our metabolism?
That's a good question. The gut is an essential and repeatedly overlooked starting point for achieving optimal health and losing weight and preventing disease. You know, your gut is often referred to as the missing link. And I think what people don't realize is it's important for everyone, not just those with digestive issues. So when clients come to us, whether their goal is to lose weight or increase energy levels, you know, get rid of those sugar cravings, I'm going to talk about sugar cravings a little bit more because they tie into gut health as well, or you know, maybe it is resolving those digestive issues, whatever it is, we always start with the gut. It's the cornerstone for optimal health. It's the avenue through which nutrients are incorporated into the body. So eating healthy food, it's really only half the story of nutrition, because you have to be in the ideal state to digest that food as well. So, you know, kind of steps to healing the gut that we take with our clients is we tell them to, you know, stop eating foods that damage the lining of your gut. So do the best that you can to kind of try to start cutting out some of those processed foods, and even grains, you know, whole grains are still refined, and real whole foods are always better than refined processed foods. So, but you know, for some people, it might just be cutting out, you know, the extra chips and soda and foods like that, and just focusing more on real whole foods. It can be reducing the amount of, you know, rice and pasta and oats, any of these carbohydrates that, even ones that we think of that are healthy, and basically increasing healthy fat. So I mentioned that those are healing. They help to heal inflammation in the body. So, you know, we have clients eating more healthy fats, more almonds and avocados and butter and cheese and coconut oil and coconut milk, you know, heavy cream in their coffee instead of those sugary creamers that have trans fats in them. And then we have them start eating foods that will help to really heal that inflammation, like fermented foods, like kombucha and sauerkraut, kimchi, yogurt. These are really important for replenishing your good gut bacteria. You've got these healthy critters that live in your gut, and they're really, really important. And, you know, the truth of the matter is some of those fermented foods that I mentioned, a lot of them we're not eating every single day, foods like kombucha and sauerkraut and kimchi. So we also find that it can be really beneficial to supplement with some key nutrients that promote healing. We believe this is really an important part of the healing process and shouldn't be overlooked, because for people that have any of these issues like sugar cravings or digestive issues or even low energy, a lot of times when they add in high quality supplements, they start to feel better right away. And this can be really, really motivating. And anytime we see results a little bit quicker, it can help encourage us to kind of keep going down that road. So my top three supplements for gut health are L-glutamine. And L-glutamine might be the most effective gut healer of all. It plays a vital role in rebuilding, healing, and maintaining the structural lining of your digestive tract. And it has those anti-inflammatory properties. And it's also really important for sugar cravings. It helps to tell your body that that you're not craving sugar. So if you're someone with, you know, intense sugar cravings like I used to have all the time, L-glutamine is my lifesaver. And in probiotics, I think are also a really important supplement to take for your gut, because those help to replenish your good bacteria and really crowd out the bad bacteria. So I do recommend getting in probiotics from both food and supplement form. So loading up on those fermented foods and then also taking a high quality probiotic supplement. And then my third recommendation, my last supplement for gut health would be fish oil, because it provides those omega-3 fatty acids which target the inflammation. And that's our goal, is we're trying to reduce the inflammation in our gut.
So talking about the gut, you give us a lot of, you know, three solid things we can put in our gut, as well as some nutritional influences. But talk to us about things we should take out and how it relates to our food sensitivities.
Oh, yeah. Food sensitivity. That's a good question. You know, there are a lot of things that people can be sensitive to. And I think one of the things that we focus on in our coaching appointments with clients is really helping them determine what those might be. Because food sensitivities are at the root of just many of our clients' difficulties with weight loss. And when you don't know they're there, when you're continually eating something that your body is sensitive to, it really can stand in the way of your goal, whether it be weight loss or other health issues too. So many people find through the process of elimination, you know, I recommend meeting with a dietitian coach to help ensure you're meeting all of your nutrient needs in this process. But you can find out through that process of elimination if you have a food sensitivity standing in your way. So the most common culprits are gluten and dairy. I think nearly 50 million Americans and more than 70% of the world's population are dairy intolerant. And then about 40% of people in the world have a gluten sensitivity. And this doesn't mean that you have an allergy to gluten. So it's perfectly normal for any allergy test to show that you're not allergic to gluten and you can still have a sensitivity. And if you're eating foods that you're sensitive to, an inflammatory reaction takes place in your body, and you're not going to feel good, you're not going to have energy, you're not going to lose weight, you could have migraine headaches and digestive issues and all sorts of other things can go along with consuming food that you're sensitive to. And then what happens is your body focuses on healing these areas that are affected, these areas that are damaged and inflamed because of the food that you're eating. And when you have chronic inflammation going on, to tie this back into metabolism, the last thing your body's going to focus on, again, is the energy and the weight loss. When you have chronic inflammation from consuming over and over foods that your body doesn't like, it's just continually focused on healing that because your body focuses on trying to keep you alive. So the best way to determine if you have a food sensitivity is to completely eliminate the food for 4 to 6 weeks and pay attention to how your body reacts when you have or don't have that food in your daily eating regimen. So sometimes people will notice, especially with dairy, within like the first few days, you know, dairy can be something that's very intimidating and kind of scary to give up, because a lot of healthy fats, you know, have dairy, you know, like cheese and cream. So it can be kind of scary for people to give that up. But the thing is, if you've been trying to lose weight for 10, 20 years and you haven't been able to figure it out, and after a few days you realize that, gosh, you know, your migraines went away and your digestive issues resolved and your back pain is decreasing and the scale is starting to move in the direction you want it to move, then usually our clients find that, you know, it's not difficult at all for them to keep that food out, and that itself is motivating enough.
So you're also the co-host of the weekly podcast, The Low Carb Conversations with Jimmy Moore, Dietitian Cassie, and Friends. So going really low carb can also be known as a ketogenic diet. It's popular in the weightlifting world. It's also popular in some circles of neurologic recovery, multiple sclerosis. Have you found that to be a helpful intervention with your clients?
You know, we actually don't use the ketogenic with our clients. We've just found that every single one of our clients has found success with our PFC balanced approach. Of course, the amount and the percentages, I guess you could call it, we don't like actually calculate percentages for each client, but we kind of do more of like a listening to the body approach. And for some of our clients, they do need to go very, very low carb. We've had quite a few clients come to us who have tried the ketogenic diet that just found that for them it wasn't really sustainable. So we've kind of helped them figure out a way to eat very low carb while still including enough carbohydrates that they aren't in ketosis. So I wouldn't say that I'm an expert in the area of ketosis and that we really haven't explored that, mostly just because we haven't had to with our clients. We've seen success with our PFC balanced eating approach.
Right. Because a lot of people do really well with just some basic shifts in their current diet or nutrition.
Yeah, we find that a lot of times those small changes are really what people need. And a lot of times it's things that, sometimes I think people will say, I know what I need to do, I just need to do it. And we don't really find that to be true. We find that a lot of people are doing things that probably aren't benefiting them. Like I mentioned with the calorie counting and maybe even just focusing on the wrong things. I'm a huge advocate of exercise. I'm a four-time marathon runner. I have a degree in corporate and community fitness, and I love exercise. And at the same time, I think that your health and your weight is actually much more than just exercise and even more than nutrition. I mean, we find that there are so many other reasons why people aren't feeling well. We talked about the food sensitivities. We talked about gut health. We talked about inflammation, you know, vitamin D. We now know that vitamin D is so much more than just calcium's co-pilot or wingman. Vitamin D supports metabolism too. And a lot of people are walking around with a low level of vitamin D. Hormonal imbalance is a huge thing that a lot of people aren't looking at, a lot of doctors aren't looking at, and a lot of people aren't thinking about their hormones. And underneath it all, if your hormones are imbalanced, it's really tough for any of the pieces of your puzzle to come together. Sleep is important. Stress is important. There's just so many pieces of the puzzle. So what we love to do with our clients is really kind of get to the bottom of it and show them that, you know what, it might not be that you just need to exercise more and eat less. It might actually be diving into thyroid health or, you know, working on your stress levels or looking at your hormones and helping you get those a little bit more balanced. There's just so many things that we don't think about every single day. And I like to kind of think of myself as a detective and really help people to take out that, you know, magnifying glass and help them figure out what it is that's been blocking them from reaching their goals. Because a lot of times it's something that we just haven't thought of or we won't think of on our own.
Excellent. So whenever I have a nutritionist or a physician or integrative medicine specialist on the line, I always ask them, why should nutrition be the first intervention that the medical community should be embracing right now when we know that chronic disease is really so prevalent in our society?
Well, there are no side effects. I don't think medications are the answer. Medications come with a lot of nasty side effects. So we see a lot of our clients come off their medications when working with us in conjunction with their physician, of course. And it's just sometimes people don't even realize the side effects they're having from taking their medications until they get rid of them. And we do see the side effects, you know, taking females who've been taking birth control for 15 years and their hormones are so messed up and they're so frustrated because they feel awful all the time and they have mood swings and can't get pregnant. And I mean, there's just so many side effects. So I think also nutrition is responsible for like 90% of health conditions. I mean, I would really go that far. I think that 90% of health conditions are attributed to what we're putting in our body. And the reason why I think that is so amazing and so important is because it's empowering, because we get to decide what we eat every single day, every single meal, you know, every single opportunity to eat is like a decision of ours. And I'm all about, you know, I'm not all about the whole ignorance is bliss mindset. I'm really about knowledge is power. And that I think it's really empowering that we can have that much control over our health and our life.
Excellent. So I've been talking with Cassie Bjork this evening. She's also known as Dietitian Kathy. Cassie, she's a registered licensed dietitian. Cassie, please tell the listeners where they can find you online.
Thank you. Well, there are three websites. The first is dietitiancassie.com. That's my original website that I still blog at. And I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, Dietitian Cassie. There's no C in dietitian, so just all T's. And then healthysimplelife.com is where my team and I blog, and you can find information about our nutrition and coaching and fitness coaching services. We do those online and over the phone. And we have a PFC Club membership program that's also available on that site that you can check out. And then our brand new storefront for our supplement company called Real Food Vitamins is at rfvitamins.com. And I started that company because quality is so essential for getting the results you want when it comes to food and supplements. And we see so many clients taking supplements that aren't helping, but they're actually bringing them further from their health goals just due to not actually containing what the label says. And sometimes they can contain harmful substances. So whenever we talk about supplements, we always tell people that it's so important to take high quality. We'd actually rather have them not taking any at all than taking ones that are high quality. So we offer pharmaceutical grade brands of nutritional supplements on our website at rfvitamins.com.
Excellent. So I want to thank Cassie Bjork, also known as Dietitian Cassie, for being on the Health and Wellness Show tonight. Please check her out at healthysimplelife.com as well as dietitiancassie.com. Thank you for listening tonight on the Health and Wellness Show, and we will see you on the next episode.
Thanks, Joe.